Warning, the following podcast contains explicit language which may be offensive to some viewers and or inappropriate for children. The content within this podcast is intended for mature audiences only.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt your reading?
Doing some light reading there.
Some light reading in the Necrocomicon. What chapter are you on, sir?
I don't think there's chapters.
I mean, there's... All right, what part are you on?
It's a demonic fire and stuff. I mean,
demonic fire. You're on the demonic fire part.
Yeah, I'm checking that out, man.
Right.
Interesting stuff here.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Portals to hell and such. I mean, good lord.
My God. You see, I see what you did there. Good lord. My goodness.
Oh, man.
How are you, Jackal Monkey?
Well, I'm doing fucking fantastic. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. This is, I think, one of the first... actual live podcast that we're doing. I actually remembered to hit record on the Rodecaster.
Well, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I did a good job. I did a good job. Jody, I did a good job. You say good boy? What would you say?
Give me a round of applause there.
Thank you. Thank you. And, we are going to be talking about, we're going to continue our Universal Monster series with one that isn't probably at the top of a lot of people's list when it comes to, okay, your favorite Universal Monster, if you will. You know what I'm saying? All right.
Yeah.
Well, what's your, as I mean, for those who have listened to the audio podcast over there at nightoflivingdreads.com, you have heard us talk about Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Phantom of the Opera, Bride of Frankenstein. And, you know, a lot of people... Warning.
Warning.
I know who that is. I know who that is. And
warning.
I guess I should put this out because I forgot. I did. Thank you, Facebook user. The following video contains explicit language, which may be offensive to some viewers and or inappropriate for children. The content within this here video is intended for mature audiences only. You have been warned.
No hamsters.
No, don't need
mature audiences.
Don't need none of that. Nope. But you know, not a lot of people would say The Invisible Man is one of their favorites. One of our, you know, previous guests, just here recently, over there at Scurryface.com, Scurryface Facebook page, which is where we took and had Mr. L.C. Holt on the show. And I believe it was his favorite, wasn't it? The Invisible Man.
Yeah. I mean, like I was saying, like, I haven't, a lot of these I haven't seen since I was a kid, so going back now as an adult, because, I mean, everybody knows, you know, your perspectives from a child to an adult completely fucking shift.
Sure.
I mean, and again, this is one of those ones where, like, I kind of love this motherfucker. Like, I kind of like him a lot. Like, you're like the whole comedic thing, the action, and like you were saying, the special effects.
That's what really threw me off, 1933 being the year this came out. But of course, I mean, let us not get ahead of ourselves, Sir Monkey Boy.
Oh yeah. Right?
Let us not get ahead of ourselves. We have fluffer galore. It's just like a big fluff fest.
A fluff party.
And what better place to start a fluff party than in your pants, which seems to not be the proper place to store a meth lab. Have you ever heard of this before?
I've never heard of the putting having it in your pants, like, but I think I saw it on a documentary where like a dude was making it like this guy was. But again, this is the second fucking time that we've had a fluffer article with a dude with a meth lab in his pants. What the fuck is wrong with people? Why the fuck are you gonna have a meth lab in your pants?
You know, I guess the whole flammable part of it did not spark.
No.
It sparked all right. And this goes back quite a ways to 2012, April 27th, in the early morning. Davis Williams was riding in a car, and go figure, he was pulled over by Oklahoma State Patrol for speeding. All right. Already, we're talking about a meth lab and someone's pants.
And he's speeding.
If you're a passenger, if you're a passenger in the car that's just been stopped, Jackal Monkey, I'm going to ask you. Well, I mean, and you know what's been going on in that car.
I just be like, hey, fuck it, dude.
I mean, how would you respond?
Like what to the cop, if the cop had pulled over?
You're stopped. I'd be like, hey, stopped by the police.
Because he smelt it. He smelt the chemical. Like he knew something was fucking up. You know what I mean? So I mean,
hello, Jillian.
Like right off the bat, I'd be like, hey, fuck it. I'm trying to make meth.
Jillian says hi, Jody. Right. I mean, I'm just you know, driving along trying to make a little meth. I mean, because
he fucking knows.
Pants.
He obviously knows.
Who doesn't want crotch meth?
Jesus Christ.
All right. So basically, the reason I ask you that, Jackal Monkey, is there's basically three distinct options to choose from. One, if you're a passenger in a car that's just got stopped by the police. All right. One, you be quiet and stay the fuck out of it. I kind of think is kind of where I was going to roll with that option.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Two, attempt to help your friend in some completely stupid and useless way.
No, I'm good.
Good with that one. Three, make a smart-ass remark. I could fall into this one, too. Make a smart-ass remark that will no doubt come back to karmically haunt you. I may probably go that way as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, but again, like, whenever the cop, like, after he pulled him over, like, he smelt, like, he smelt the chemical, like,
he
a
did.
Big... A bad chemical substance,
a strong.
He knew something was up.
Something was awry. See what I did there?
Right. Oh. All
right.
He fucking knows.
He fucking knows. There was a strong chemical odor coming from the car, and that right there is going to let police know, like you said. I mean, that's
straight up. Be straight up with him.
Yeah.
Fuck it. At that point, because like I said, he fucking knows.
Yeah. You know, and that probably would have been the logical way to go about this, Jacko Monkey, is to be straight up with him. But when the officer asked Williams about the putrid smell, he could have blamed it on Chinese or Mexican-themed eating establishments.
Damn. Or Indian food.
Or Indian food. But instead, he decided to make a fucking run for it. That didn't last long. He was caught, and a struggle ensued. Now, here's where things get really bad. Something exploded in Williams's pants during this struggle.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Right. Chaos.
What's up, my town brother?
How are you, sir? Facebook user, how are you? We're doing great. Thank you for being here.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
So something.
See, now when it exploded, did it fuck him up? Like, did it I would assume that it would give him some kind of fucking chemical
some kind of a burn. It doesn't really go into that. It just says that it turned out that he had apparently in a water bottle, a little portable meth lab, which was again basically just a plastic bottle. Whatever chemicals you need to make meth and put them in. And he just apparently, it just gets shook. And that shakes it. And that in turn creates the meth. And that created that and a lifetime of bad decisions. Did you ever hear about shaking meth in your pants?
I didn't, no. Nope. Like I said, I've heard of people doing it, with the plastic bottle. Like I said, it was on some documentary or something that I saw. I don't remember what the hell it was on, but I think maybe that Drugs Inc. or something.
Right.
But I've never heard of people fucking, having it on their person,
in that fashion.
It's volatile as fuck. Why the fuck would you do that?
Right.
Dumbass.
He really wasn't in any place to continue struggling. So he, surrendered.
Right. I imagine he probably looked like the fucking dude on RoboCop after he got all the fucking toxic waste all over him, you know what I mean? Fucking meth lab exploded in his fucking pants, you know?
This is... I know, right? And this article comes from ramblingbeachcat.com because it's just funny how they word this. Giving yourself up to the police, however, does not prohibit someone from being filmed by a local news station as they sit on the side of the road while their crotch burns from recently exploded meth ingredients.
Holy fuck, that's awesome. I gotta see this now. I gotta fucking see this.
That's great. Oh my god.
What is it? Exactly, that's what I was saying. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to know if it fucking blew his fucking leg off or something. Like, at the very least, apparently it set his crotch on fire.
Right.
But, at the very least, it had to have done, fucking chemical burns and shit. It had to have fucked him up.
Right.
So.
Jillian asked if making meth can blow up a Winnebago, what does it do to your lower half? Probably a whole lot.
Well, like I said, that fucking set his crotch on fire, at least.
He got at least some burns going on. Oh, Freddy Krueger crotch. He probably wished he was dead, which apparently is what our next story, Long Island's Robert Berger, is accused of faking his own death to get out of charges. Other charges. Because he apparently was caught. With this one, a Long Island criminal defendant tried faking his death to avoid jail sentence, but phony death certificate But the phony death certificate his lawyer submitted had a glaring spelling error that made it a, you ready for this? A dead giveaway for a fraud, right?
Jesus Christ.
Prosecutors said that Robert Berger, 25, of Huntington, New York, now faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted in the alleged scheme. That's in addition to pending sentences from earlier guilty pleas to charges of possession of a stolen Lexus and attempted grand larceny of a truck.
Oh shit!
He was looking to avoid those.
So he faked his own death. Genius! So, absolutely fucking genius!
Right? He
dumbass.
Man. He took steps, however, to convince his then-lawyer, prosecutors, and the judge that he'd killed himself, including allegedly using his fiancé to pass along a bogus death certificate. At first glance, Berger's purported death certificate looked like an official document issued by the New Jersey Department of Health's Vital Statistics and Registry Office. But there's always a but. There was one big problem. Registry was spelled R-E-G-S-I-T-R-Y. It was missing an I. You see what I did there?
Yeah. Registry.
Registry. Right. Whose crotch hasn't been on fire? Well, mine, Jillian. I mean, if we really have to go there, yes. Jillian, he is a moron. So he misspells the word registry. That's logged in the New Jersey Department of Health's Vital Statistics and Registry. There were also inconsistencies in the front page or in the front type and size that raised suspicions. The New Jersey, the real New Jersey Health Department confirmed Berger's death certificate was a fake. You don't say.
And bam!
Judge, Berger pleaded guilty to a single count of offering a false instrument for filing. A judge set bail at $1, but offered
what the fuck?
But offered Berger to jail due to his underlying cases.
I don't know, man. That's crazy.
That's
fucking crazy.
Absolutely. Have you ever had the chicken nuggets at McDonald's?
No, fucking absolutely. Yeah. And again, they always forget the goddamn sauce.
Always forget the sauce.
They always forget the fucking sauce.
Always.
Assholes.
Assholes. Mrs. Dredd is giving me dirty looks. I'm loving it.
<Ba-da-ba-ba-ba>.
God damn. What? You remember this? What was it? The Szechuan sauce?
Yeah, the goddamn Szechuan sauce.
Right, that everybody was going nuts over, like the Popeye's chicken, you know, sandwich shit.
I'll stab you, motherfucker.
Give me that goddamn
sandwich.
Give me a fucking sauce. Well, apparently, cops have a McNuggets dispute that actually led to a bomb threat. Have you ever wanted Saw so bad that you decided that you were going to
I got to, dude, it's not that fucking serious, shit.
Man, Frank's, Frank's hot sauce, man, I put that shit on everything.
God damn, shit, man.
Yeah, he, apparently, after realizing that the dipping sauce was not included with his chicken McNuggets order, an Iowa man. See, they're crazy everywhere, man. It's not just Florida or Ohio or Texas. Iowa. You Midwestern, yeah, you're crazy out there, too. And that's why we love you, because this guy's great. In Ohio, not great. I mean, you don't call him bomb threats over a fucking dipping sauce. But an Iowa man called his local McDonald's and threatened to blow up the restaurant.
I'm gonna blow this motherfucker up if you don't give me my goddamn sauce.
And he's 42 years old. See, this is this is what's sad about this, man.
If you were that goddamn detached from fucking reality that fucking threatening to bomb a place over fucking
McDonald's.
McNugget sauce?
McDonald's, of all places.
I mean, fuck. I mean.
He was arrested on a Saturday evening and charged with making a false report about an explosive or incendiary device.
Good.
Which is a felony. He allegedly phoned in a threat to a McDonald's 5 miles from his home in Ankeny, a Des Moines suburb. The phone threat cops charge came after he discovered that his McDonald's order was bereaved of dipping sauces.
See, I told you. They didn't give. See, just give the man his fucking sauce.
Just give there wouldn't be any fucking problems, man.
See, it's gonna be like that fucking movie. Was it Falling Down?
Yeah.
He's gonna fucking go in there. I want my goddamn breakfast, and I want my fucking breakfast now.
And I want it now.
Jesus.
Oh God. My goodness.
Blow this motherfucker up.
The threatening call came to the the threatening call to the restaurant was placed from a phone number associated with this guy Goldwitzer. In addition to claiming that he would blow up the eatery, he threatened to assault an employee.
I'm gonna beat your ass. I'm gonna blow this bitch up. God damn.
Oh my god.
Oh fuck, dude. Like, see, what the fuck is wrong with people? What the fuck is wrong with people? Jesus fucking Christ. We need an invisible man to fucking go and kick these people's asses. Shit. Fuck. Oh my god, dude.
When questioned by the cops, he admitted he called the victim and made the threats. He was released early from a Polk County jail after posting bond. Criminal complaint does not specify which flavor or flavors dipping sauce allegedly he wanted.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let me go over here. And Amy has joined us.
What's up, Amy?
Thank you, Amy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You know what? You know what's even worse than that? Salsa and battery charge. See what I did there?
Oh, man. That's a good one.
I set that one up. I didn't even put these articles in order, but I set that shit up like it was nothing. Set them up, knock them down. A man is charged with a salsa and battery. cops. The victim struck in back with a glass of Tostitos jar of salsa. What would provoke you to do this? Well, allow me to tell you. In an unprovoked... In an unprovoked attack, a 7-Eleven customer, for those on the West or maybe West Coast or, you know, Midwest, I don't know how far out here in Ohio we don't have 7-Elevens, but I grew up on I grew up on the East Coast, and I think they do have them out there in California when I was out that way years ago, but we don't have them here. But I grew up on 7-Eleven. A 7-Eleven customer was injured when a fellow patron threw a glass jar of Tostitos salsa at him with such force that the container broke on the victim's back. Not his head, but his back. These are for those fellow stoners. I'll just throw it out there for those fellow stoners. Thank you for the heart. I just seen that. Please like and share if you don't mind. Thank you. Yeah, you're right, Jillian. That will leave a mark. Those are pretty thick jars. I've dropped them on, the floor and, you know, out of the refrigerator. They're not busting. You really have to hit someone hard in the back.
Crazy.
My goodness. Yeah, that's going to leave a mark. What would provoke someone to do that? According to the court filings, Latrell Trisalis, 31, was arrested on a felony battery charge for allegedly striking the victim with a 15.5-ounce jar inside a convenience store in St. Petersburg, of course, Florida, on Wednesday evening. The 6'2", 300-pound assailant here is locked up in a Pinellas County jail in lieu of a $4,500 bond. Investigators allege that the man struck with the jar suffered minor lacerations and visible swelling. You don't fucking say.
Yeah, no shit.
That's it?
That thing would be fucking huge. Hell, it'd probably break some fucking bones, man.
Now, you know, this dude, this Trisalis guy, he isn't like what you would call an upstanding citizen if you hadn't already figured that out. He's also facing a theft rap for allegedly stealing a Choco Taco ice cream bar from a 7-Eleven.
God damn.
That's some hardcore shit right there, bro. I'm in here for a Choco Taco theft. Nope.
Motherfucker.
Sup?
Give me your Choco Taco.
Man, right? Choco Taco, or you get the Tostitos, bro. Who needs the what was it? The hard lemonade? Mike's hard. Isn't that what it was?
Oh yeah. It was the Twisted Tea. Is that what you're talking about?
The Twisted Tea. Who needs Twisted Tea when you're gonna have Tostitos?
No shit.
Mild, hot, it don't matter. That's right. Choco Tacos are pretty good, but I don't think worth, you know, adding to your rap sheet when it comes to that. So
what, like $1.50? I mean, fuck.
I know, right?
It's about the goddamn Choco Taco. Fuck.
It's not that good. What? What was that?
What, Yoshi? What?
Is that a dog?
Yeah. It's Yoshi. What, Yoshi?
Have I ever met your dog?
I don't know. Yeah. You've seen her. Right. Little Cheweenie.
A Cheweenie.
Little Cheweenie.
Aww.
Little Cheweenie.
You're showing everyone your Cheweenie.
My Cheweenie is on camera.
Oh, my goodness. You're a star.
Yeah, she's an old girl. She's all telling me she wants attention.
Yeah, you know, young girl, old girl, they all want attention.
Right?
It is what it is. All right, hey, we're going to take ourselves, and if you miss the very beginning of the show, you're also going to see another little ad for our dear friend Chaos and his Emporium. Was it the Kettle Corn Emporium? Did you just give me the finger?
No. You always do that.
You always give people the finger. I got you.
Always give people the finger.
But if you missed it the first time, you're going to see it right now, and then we're going to take
Kettle Corn Emporium.
Kettle Corn Emporium. There you go. 30-second fucking little break. So, yeah, stay tuned. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Chaos Unright. Y'all go check out my new popcorn, Cinnamon Chaos, at GoodStuffsKettleCornEmporium.com. And don't forget to go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. See you guys later.
Here we go. Look, the crowd is cheering, and there's no jackal monkey.
And there's no jackal monkey.
Just empty chairs. Empty chairs. I forgot about that. Jillian has showed me her Cheweenie. She has a Cheweenie as well, yeah.
Yeah, she's got two of them. Yeah, they're fucking cute.
She's going to buy some Choco Tacos tomorrow. Well, as long as you buy them and you don't have to, inquire a rap sheet over the Choco Taco.
Then it's all worth it.
Then it's all worth it, I mean, hey, whatever floats your fucking boat. Here we go. Let's talk a little. Man, there's the Cheweenie.
Ooh, going crazy.
She's going crazy tonight.
Telling that cat to stay the fuck away from her food.
That's right. Well, hey, you got to do it.
Stay away, kitty cat. It's my food.
Damn. we were talking, as a lot of people know, Jackal Monkey, you do the Battle Haven. Now, is that going to continue? There was talk that was going to be put on hold due to your schedule. Is that, when is that coming back? Is it coming back? Where can people check it out before we get into the Invisible Man?
Yeah, it's coming back. I'm taking a little break. It's gonna be about a month or so, probably about a month, maybe a month and a half. But I'm coming back on the Battle Haven group on Facebook. We'll be streaming there as well.
Awesome.
Hopefully NLD, but we'll see about working that out. But Battle Haven for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, like you were saying, yeah, I've got a lot of stuff going on right now, so I'm working through all that, and then
you have masks that are actually in stores. Skeleton,
yeah, what was yeah, it? Skeleton
Curiosities, yes, and people that are in your area, I know you have some friends, some people that you work with that have actually said, man, my boyfriend really likes your podcast.
Yeah, that totally and, fucking
there,
blew me
there
away.
You go, there you go, an unnamed plug. We know who you are.
Right.
So, there's going to be people listening. Tell people in your area, the Waco, Texas area, where they can go in a fucking store, look into a showcase, and see your work. That's amazing. Where is that at?
Yeah, Skeleton Curiosities at the Bosque Mall shopping center. It's over there off of Bosque Boulevard. But yeah, I've got I think 8 masks altogether right now at the store there. And what's up?
What's up, Sykes?
Sykes. Yeah, fucking yeah, that's working awesome. On working on my my new face. So got that going right now, and I'm also working on finishing up Kenny's wearable part 6 Friday yes. the 13th bust.
You did a little impromptu, a couple little videos just out of the blue, like, hey, I want to show people what I'm doing. And you were actually working on that particular bus, and it's actually something to hold the mask on,
right?
Which is absolutely awesome, and it's coming along really well, man. I well, enjoyed personally, and this is not like, you know, because you're a host, but I enjoyed watching you take and, show us how you do those things and make the, the face the way it does. Pretty awesome.
Hell yeah. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it.
Nightmare Ninja Studios over there on Facebook is where you can contact our beloved Monkey Boy and get your own fucking mask. And I'm telling you, you're not going to be disappointed. I got a couple.
Hell yeah.
And if you want a black and or a black light Jason mask, Mrs. Monkey is the person to do that, because she did mine, did an absolute awesome job. All right, this is kind of weird, man, doing the podcast that we normally do just audio, doing it on video, and for those who've been following the last. Or the audio podcast just in general, you've heard that we've been covering a lot of Universal Monsters. As we just mentioned, Jackal Monkey, you are a special effects guy. I think most movies that really appeal to you probably have really good special effects, because that's where your head is already at. That's pretty accurate, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anything. Well, I mean, I'm hardcore into the practical effects, but I mean, CGI. It interests me, but I wouldn't have the first fucking clue on how to even do anything with a computer.
Right.
So that's why I really like the practical effects. That's what I thought was awesome about The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Again, it was 1933.
Yes.
The practical effects in that movie were insane at that time.
Yes. Very, very much ahead of its time, to say the least. Now, this was, for those who don't know, directed by James Whale, based on an H.G. Wells 1897 The Invisible Man. And then it became produced by Universal Pictures. Claude Rains played The Invisible Man. And as I told you, there's some few short documentaries involving The Invisible Man concerning this movie. There's a whole podcast that we could do on James Whale. I mean, he had a very tragic, sad life. In a nutshell, he made great movies, was one of the biggest directors when it came to Universal Monsters and such, but ended up suffering from a massive stroke. He lived, but the way he had to live his life, he just couldn't do it, and sadly, he took his own life. And then you go to the other side, okay, where you have Claude Rains. And that, again, all right, this is a guy who was casted for The Invisible Man, because nobody was going to see his face until the very end of the movie. Then you got a glimpse. But, this is a guy who had to use his voice and then his, obviously, his physical acting. Right. And he was casted for his voice and his voice pretty much alone. Very strange at that time. When you say, I mean, because this was a strange movie in and of itself. Like you said, the special effects, everything seemed to be the storyline. Everything seemed to be just ahead of its time. And then you have this guy who's a great character actor, and whose voice actually got ravaged a little bit. Was it World War One? Tell us about that.
With mustard gas. Yeah, he was gassed during World War One, and it damaged his vocal cords, and it actually left him blind in his right eye too.
Yeah, 90%, I think they said, in his one eye is what they estimated. So he was legally blind in his one eye. They said the mustard gas that, damaged his vocal cords to the point that he gave him, this raspy kind of sound to him. But
that's what made his voice so fucking iconic.
Man. And that's what James Whale wanted. For that voice, because he was such a good character actor. Go ahead, brother.
Right. Yeah. If we can go back to what you're talking about, how far ahead of its time it was, the effects that they were doing, the actor would wear a black velvet suit underneath all the bandages and all that stuff, and then they had a black background, and that's how they. It's like an old school fucking green screen.
It was. That's exactly what it was. Hello, Kisa. What's up, Kisa?
But you know what I mean. They did that in fucking Labyrinth. You know what I mean. That was 50 fucking years later.
Yeah. And then
that was 50 years later.
Something that they're doing in 1933 was the precursor of our modern day green screen. And they did it so damn well. And it's
hard because doing that too, you have to have the lighting has to be fucking perfect.
Right.
To be able to pull it off.
And if it doesn't work, which it didn't in The Invisible Woman, which came out, I think, very, very close, if not the same year. That the Invisible Man Returns in 1944, which is where you hear Vincent Price is playing the Invisible Man. You'll recognize that iconic voice. But the Invisible Woman, yeah, they made a lot of mistakes there. When they tried to do, you take off certain articles of your clothes and her hands would come in and you would see her arms, the effects weren't there. There were some glitches there, but it still went out. It had one premise, which I really love about The Invisible Man. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Genevieve has joined us. Thank you, Genevieve. The Sinister Sisters, Genevieve and Jillian. Love those two.
Hell yeah.
They may be doing something with us in the future. Anyway, The Invisible Man, was something that was just completely out of everything that we have seen that was seen at that time. It went to the point of, because Dracula and Frankenstein, okay, both had elements of those movies that had not been seen before, okay, on the big screen. And now you have in 1933, and if everyone remembers, if you've listened or if you already know, Dracula 1931, Frankenstein 1931, they came out in the same year. Okay. 33 comes The Invisible Man. Now, there's a whole lot of leaping, taking leaps and bounds, man, as you know, we're talking about. This is a movie which I thought this would be one that would be more at the top of your list versus Phantom of the Opera, which I think that you mentioned was one of your, you know, big time favorites. Of course,
oh, Lon yeah.
Chaney, when it comes to a special effects guy, I understand that.
But this is a very fucking close second. This is a very fucking close second.
It's got to be. Yeah. Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yes, Vincent Price, the godfather of horror. And
his fucking laugh there. And that one scene whenever he unveils himself to to all the police officers and everybody's like, I'll show you who I am. He takes off his prosthetic nose and throws it at him.
Right, Claude Rains.
Wrapping himself. Like.
And Claude Rains' laugh, I think, was very maniacal. You know, Vincent Price, and I'm not sure, you know, who Keith is referring to, but Vincent Price, you know, he also had that very maniacal, evil, you know, type laugh. Both of them were great. Your favorite part, let's talk about the story of the Invisible Man a little bit. I mean, you got this guy who, and here's where Mrs. Dredd should jump in, because she was telling me everything about this movie.
Now, come on, Mrs. Dredd.
She won't do it.
Oh, God damn it.
I know, right? And you're causing Jackal Monkey to curse.
It's like it didn't already fucking curse enough already. Shit.
You know, did you ever think when you were a kid, you know, as little boys, you know, you're sitting around, you're like, okay, because, you know, little boys, they like to, you know, Batman, Superman, and, you know, all these superheroes.
Oh,
and,
yeah, fuck that. I was fucking Predator. Fuck that.
Oh, my God. I'm a bit older than
Batman
you. There was
Spider-Man,
no Predator fucking... when I was a kid. There was no
Hell
Predator.
Hell, yeah. That's what the fuck I was all about, man.
Well, what would you, as a kid, what would your superpower be other than, I guess, Predator?
Invisibility. Straight the fuck up, because, I mean, yeah, Predator, like I said, he'd fucking cloak himself, nobody'd know where the fuck he was at, he'd be up in the fucking trees just skinning motherfuckers and shit, like, right. He's an evil son of a bitch, like,
evil.
You know, so.
Straight evil.
I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, absolutely, if I could have any superpower, either. I mean, I would want either that or, like, just straight, like, invulnerability. You know, be able to, like,
man.
Stand there and let a fucking car hit me and it wouldn't do shit, you know. But, you know, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that
would. But I would much rather be invisible.
Right, yeah. Now, Dr. Jack Griffin is our Invisible Man. In the movie The Invisible Man. He apparently discovers the secret of invisibility. Okay. And he does a few tests. This drug is called monocaine. You ever heard of that one?
Nope, never heard of that one.
Never heard of that
one? Doesn't ring a bell to me.
Well, there you go. I mean, if you can get your, you know, little grubby mitts on some monocaine, you may be in, you might be able to walk around invisible, man. Nobody ever seen. Or you could have a sense of humor like me, and most people will just ignore you anyway. Flora Craney, Griffin's fiance, and the daughter of Griffin's employer, Dr. Cranley, they become, because Griffin takes off for a while. And because he discovered this shit, and he takes off, and, you know, he's testing it out. He wants a, you know, little place to sit and just work on these things and try to perfect it. And maybe, you know, get a back and forth to where he can become invisible whenever he wants kind of deal, you know. Well, his fiance and her dad, who, again, is his boss, they become a little worried because he just up and leaves. He's never done this kind of fucking thing before. And, well, that ends up into a load of shit. You alluded to one of the first confrontations I think we see the Invisible Man in, and that would be when, well, there's some alarm by one of the, you know, the ladies that work there. He gets a room at a bar, a saloon slash, you know, motel, hotel, Holiday Inn, say what? And see how I just roll with that, man? But, you know, there's some alarm there that he's weird because his face is all in bandages and he has his hat on, these dark glasses. I need a room. Right. Make it happen.
I love those fucking glasses, too, man.
Those fucking glasses. Those are so badass. So, he gets his room. But, again, there's some cause for alarm by, you know, the establishment that he is renting the room from. They call the police in, and that's when they discover that he can be invisible. And that's when that maniacal laugh, you know, comes out, and he starts thrashing about and whatnot. Now, do you remember what they said about that particular scene as far as the effects and how they did that? Do you remember exactly how they did that?
Shit.
Where the shirt is floating around, because I think they put that in last, and they just had them pretty much. I mean, what kind of actor do you have to be, and a damn good one, if I may add, to act like you're being hit by something that isn't there?
Right, exactly. It fucking exactly, dude. Like, again, it was the same thing. I'm pretty sure it was the green screen type thing with the black.
Yes.
With the black cloth and then the black backdrop as well that they added in, and then, you know, manipulated with film or whatever, right. But to make it look like, you know, like you were saying, it was like the precursor to the green screen.
It was, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Jesus, and the wire work, the fucking wire work, man. Like, and that was a thing too. Like, even though he's invisible, there was only like, I think, one scene in the whole movie where you only hear his voice, but you don't see him. Like, there's always something like a smoking cigarette floating, you know what I mean? Or and then whenever he sits down in the chair and you see, like, his fucking imprint on the fucking cushion, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, holy shit. Like, and again, this is in 1933.
And one of the cool effects that they did, speaking of that, one of the cool effects that they did to make it look like he was walking in the snow was to take wooden, you know, like just almost like a silhouette, just like a little piece of wood in the shape of a foot, and have them drop in certain areas. And, you know, and that's how they would make the infamous, you know, footsteps coming down later on in the movie. We just got a few minutes left. Gail, hello. Thank you for joining us from McGregor, Texas.
That's my stepmom.
That's your stepmom. Thank you.
My mother-in-law. I mean, I'm sorry.
Thank you. All right. Man, you're going to get in trouble.
Well, I mean, pretty much.
Well, stepmom, mother-in-law. Yeah, I have one, too. Yes, I understand. Well, thank you anyway, Gail, for joining us. Howdy. Yeehaw. Man, that's such
ship the fire.
Ship fire. That's such the Texas thing to say. Howdy.
Yeah, man.
But we'll take it. Thank you.
Like I said earlier, I love fucking going back and watching all of these and all the research and stuff that we're doing. Because, I mean, I didn't research this stuff as a kid. You know what I mean? I mean, I knew, you know, common knowledge type stuff, you know, like with Lon Chaney and stuff like that. But, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know all of the stuff that happened with the actors. That's what I was saying. I was like, oh. But oops. Yeah, fucking. all the shit that fucking happened with these actors, like growing up and just their life. Like a lot of them, like some of them have had some horrible fucking things happen to them. It's like, holy
and we delve into that with Lon Chaney in our a little bit with his dad senior, which he wasn't really as, you know, a junior. Creighton Chaney was his, you know, birth name, but both of them, both Lon and Lon Jr. as he's known, both of them had some, you know, pretty hard, you know, upbringing and struggles, a lot of struggles in life. And then the magic that they made, the things that they made that will live in, for one, horror fans' minds forever.
I mean, absolutely.
As we've mentioned numerous times, the reason that we cover, and we have been for going on 6-7 weeks now, is because, you know, we cover these for the simple reason. If it wasn't for, you know, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney and Lon Chaney Jr., you wouldn't have people like Tom Savini and Kane Hodder and Nick Castle and all of these icons of these newer horror icons. You know, I think we all need to every once in a while step back and really appreciate horror for where it you know, its foundation is. You agree?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Like Amy just said, they're iconic. They were fucking pioneers. They were pioneers in what they did. Like, and I mean, again, I hate to do that, but going back to like to Lon Chaney, just like the stuff that he was doing with makeup, like again, just like totally new shit that nobody was doing.
Nobody saw nobody that. Yeah, that and that was in stuff. the '20s. You know,
the '20s. Like, and like I was saying, like again, that's why I love the Phantom so much. The makeup with the Phantom, like I said, it's better than most makeups today.
Yes, it is.
And that was fucking, goddamn, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost.
Not far from it, my friend.
Almost right at the 100-year mark.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, fuck. I mean, for these guys' skill to be that amazing.
Advanced, you know, I mean, and doing what they did with what they had. I mean, they didn't have all of the things that special effects artists like our previous guest, Joe Castro, when we had Joe and Doug Epps on. Joe is a special effects. They didn't have all that silicone and making the molds and things like that, like special effects artists have now. And I think that's where a lot of appreciation has to be laid when it comes to talking about special effects and understanding, hey, what you were just mentioning in the 20s. With the visual special effects in The Invisible Man, which was our topic tonight, in the 30s. This is absolutely, I mean, amazing. I mean, what was going on there? And I think everyone should, every once in a while, sit back and appreciate, again, the foundation in which the horror that we love now, new, semi-new, recent, this is what it was all laid on. And that's why we're doing this. And we're coming back with another one. We have at least two more that I want to get to. And actually, it's only two more in the list that I had in my head. So that'll continue. Let us know what you think our last two may be. And these are in no real order, by the way. Jack-O-Monkey, this was kind of fun, man. You know, doing audio podcasts and having people sit and chat with us, man. We had a nice little turnout. It was an NLD.
Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Thank you, absolutely. NLD exclusive. We may do this more often. There won't be any shows again this coming weekend with Scurry Face. We are not doing any more shows over there on PBDC. There's no bad blood. It's just we need time and, you know, to get our shit in order. I would say our ducks in order, but I can't even find my fucking ducks right now.
Yeah, they fucking... mine fucking flew south for the fucking winter.
They're gone.
And it's summer.
They flew south already. Thank you, Jillian. I'm glad you thought this was fun. Yes, if you liked it, yes, please smash the heart button. So we have two more that we're going to dive into, but again, there won't be any more or no shows this weekend, actually. Going under the knife, but we'll be back real soon. Maybe we'll do another one maybe next Wednesday. We'll do another one of these. I'll see how I feel. But until then, have a great and safe 4th of July, everyone. I really appreciate you guys being in the chat. Yeah, if you're listening to the audio podcast, you missed it. You missed the live version. You could have, you know, saw our ugly mugs and you could have chatted with us. But don't worry. We're going to be doing this again. This was a lot of fun for both of us, and we appreciate everyone joining us, whether you're listening to the audio, just audio, or we're here with us live. So with that being said, have a good night, guys, and have a happy 4th, and
go blow some shit up.
Go blow some shit up, but be safe, man. Come back with all, like, 9 digits.
All 10 fingers.
Oh, 10?
Oh, wait. Yeah, there we go.
All right.